Richard Underwood. Sunday morning. 18th of May, 2025. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, to Numbers chapter 6, verse 27.
Well, it is lovely to be with you today. I've had the joy of meeting some of you on Zoom, but it's great for me to see you face to face. Not maybe quite so good for you, but very lovely for me. Let me pray, can I? Father God, I need your help so much now. Please will you help me to be a faithful spokesman, an ambassador for heaven, because I really want to speak well of you. And please will you help us all to listen well. Father God, we all resonate with the way that song ends. We long for a better world to come. We long for something new, something different. And we pray that this morning, as we come to these ancient words, we would discover a timeless truth about you. So please hear us and help us for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you reflected just for a moment on Dave's prayer, you won't need me to tell you that we live in a deeply uneasy world. It's a world facing multiple challenges, whether global conflict or political instability, economic uncertainty or the threat of global climate change, social fragmentation, mental health crises, to name but a few. It's hardly surprising that we feel increasingly insecure and wondering where all this is going. Filmmaker Woody Allen captured it perfectly with his blend of existential angst and dark humor when he said, "Life is full of misery, loneliness, and suffering, and it's all over much too soon." So where can we turn to find a bit of hope, especially on this special occasion? Well, I want you to come with me to the words from the Bible that we began our meeting with today. If you've got a Bible open, you'll find them in Numbers chapter 6. They go like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. They're beautiful words, aren't they? It's no accident that these ancient words are found in what we call the Book of Numbers. Now, in English, numbers sounds a bit, well, frankly, boring. I prefer words to numbers. But in Hebrew tradition, the book's called In the Wilderness, which is much more intriguing, because Numbers is really the epic travelogue of Israel's journey through the wilderness on their way to the land that God promised to Abraham. So this blessing is pronounced in the context of a journey. And in view of the catalogue of Israel's failings that will follow, I'm so glad that the blessing comes here. The Israelites don't set out for the promised land in the hope that God will bless them when they get there. They set out for this long journey to the promised land in the knowledge that God is for them right from the start. And I don't know about you, but I need to know that. Some words don't wear well, do they? And I wonder if blessing might be one of them. It's a word that kind of crops up in everyday parlance. We stare into the eyes of a newborn baby and we say, "Ah, bless." Or you sneeze and before I know it, I've said, "Bless you." It's all a bit vague and vacuous, isn't it? And it's a harsh fact that the word bless has sort of worn thin with use. So what does it mean to bless? Well, twice at the start of the Bible, we find God blessing his creation. First, he blesses the animal kingdom. Then he blesses Adam and Eve. Later, he blesses Noah and his sons in the same kind of way. And it seems like blessing is all about thriving and flourishing. At its simplest, blessing speaks about God enriching our lives in such a way that we can grow and thrive as human beings. And here in Numbers chapter 6, we see that this growing and flourishing, we see what it looks like. See, God isn't like a modern parent who thinks they can substitute cash for love, generous with their money, but mean with their time. No, here in this blessing, God is being generous with himself. If you have got a Bible open and you can look at the text, you'll see that the word bless only occurs once, while the Lord is named three times. This special family name for God, this word, this name that tells us that God is for us and God is faithful, and his name gets used three times. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It's this God who is the source of human blessing. Now, why is this so important? Well, it's important because every single one of us longs to be blessed. You do. I do. The need for it is universal. It's hardwired into us from the start. We're unfulfilled without it. The trouble is we seek this blessing in all kinds of places and often the wrong places. Secular thinkers encourage us to look in on ourselves and tell ourselves what wonderful people we are. But that's just a recipe for utter emptiness and futility. Only someone from outside of us, and only someone who is bigger than us, can bless us. And here in Numbers chapter 6, we see who this someone is. It's the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It's not explicit in the text, but it's hard to miss a glimpse of the Trinity here, isn't it? This blessing flows from its source in God the Father, and it shines on us through the work of God the Son, and we enjoy it in our experience through the work of God the Spirit. It's this triune three-in-one God who is totally committed to making us flourish. Okay, well, that's more than enough by way of background. Let's kind of dig into the passage itself. And I want you to see that the blessing comes in three movements. We might call movement number one the Lord's protective presence. In a word, this blessing offers us security. Now, again, remember where we are. At the start of a long journey through the wilderness and into the promised land. There are battles to fight, rivers to cross, giants to conquer, a land to possess. How reassuring to hear these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. Who better? This blessing anticipates God's words to his pilgrim people in another part of the Bible called Psalm 121. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. And then in the New Testament bit of the Bible, we listen in to the Lord Jesus praying. And he's kind of riffing off this blessing. He says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they, that's us, will still be in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. What's he doing? He's claiming the promise of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. Now think about that for me just for a moment. How comforting that is. See, there's nothing passive about this, is there? The Lord's not saying, I'm going to keep watching over you. No, he says, I'm going to be intimately involved in your daily lives. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to guide you. Not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally. Security. The promise of the Lord's protective presence. Which leads us into the second movement, which is the promise of the Lord's gracious smile. In a word, this blessing offers us significance or self-worth. Most of us long to be loved by someone who really matters. So look again at our text. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Now, I don't want to step out onto thin ice or tread on anybody's corns this morning. But the thing I hated most about COVID were the face coverings. Sorry if that's kind of doesn't quite work for you. I absolutely loved lockdown. That was great. I couldn't really see why we had to be 2 meters apart. I wanted to be 5 meters apart, but that's just because I'm a miserable old man. But the face coverings I didn't like. But wearing them did serve to remind me just how important faces are in our everyday lives. If you and I are going to interact in any meaningful kind of way over lunch, I need to be able to see your face. I'm sorry to say, you're going to have to cope with seeing mine. God's face. God's face speaks of his intimate presence. The Lord making his face shine on us is a powerful way of saying that God wants to show his favor to us. God wants to delight in us. He wants us to realize that we matter to him. When he revealed himself to these very same people that we're thinking about in Numbers chapter 6, back in Exodus chapter 34, Moses came down from the mountain with a shining face. He'd spent time with God. He'd soaked up something of the radiance of God's glory, and that encounter made his face shine. Well, here's the promise that God's face shines on us, and he wants us to soak it up. We do live in a world of great darkness. It's not just the darkness of ignorance. It's the darkness of sin and rebellion. And we simply can't generate light in and of ourselves. If we're going to live in the light, it's got to come from somewhere else. The idea of God lifting up his face images the idea of light. I was reminded of it recently. I had to pop down into town to buy a chisel. Chisels and I don't go well together. Pip had prevailed on me to do some DIY job. I was in a bad mood. So with this passage in mind, I studied the faces of drivers queuing at the traffic lights. Most of them were looking blank and vacant. A few were looking like me, agitated and impatient. But then one lady saw me, and just for a split second, her face lit up. And she seemed pleased to see me. She soon got over it. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Why does the Lord make his face shine on us? Because he's pleased to see us. We see the fulfillment of this kindness when we get into the New Testament part of the Bible. Just think about how the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus lights people's lives up through the stories of the Gospels. Whenever he encounters people who are defeated or ashamed or alienated or excluded, suddenly the light of God's face shines on them. And what happens? He lifts them up. Even more amazing, Jesus encounters people who've broken God's laws and broken God's heart. And he's what? He's gracious to them. They expect a frown. Instead, they get a smile. And a wonderful sense of significance sweeps over their souls. They matter to the person who matters most. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Do you know we're not worthy of any of this? And yet God freely extends it to us. But the promise of God's gracious favor leads to a third movement. The promise of the Lord's perfect peace. From security and significance, we move to that beautifully rich Hebrew quality, shalom. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Turning your face toward someone means giving them your full and undivided attention. Now, I know some of us are English and this is problematic, but I'd love you to turn and look at the person sitting next to you. Do you think you could do that? Just risk it for a minute. Just try it. Look at them. Look into their face. I know they're smiling or they're frowning or they're thinking, gosh, this is awful. We need to get this over. Or think about a child. Look at me, mummy. Look at me. or think about a parent, look at me when I'm talking to you. See, we're not wrong to crave attention, you know. We're created for it. And here's the wonderful thing. It's God himself who's promising to pay attention to us. It's like we're the only people in the room. Isn't that a wonderful thing? When there's a room full of people and someone walks in and they see you and they smile. If our deepest longing is to be loved by someone who matters, then one of the deepest sources of personal angst is the sense that the people who do matter aren't noticing us or they don't care about us. Well, here we are, we who feel often, so often, like nothings and nobodies. And we're being promised the undivided attention of the person who's the ultimate somebody. His protective presence, his gracious favor. And the result? We get to experience something we all long for. Shalom. Shalom. It's not just the absence of war, is it? I was so pleased we prayed for Ukraine this morning. Pip and I have three Ukrainian house guests at home. Breaks their hearts what's going on in their country. President Trump wants to see the fighting end and the killing to stop. And that's right. So far, so good. But President Zelensky wants much, much more than that. He wants his people to enjoy peace again. See, shalom is not just the absence of trouble, is it? It's the presence of something else. It's the presence of God. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament describes it like this, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, which guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Shalom. Shalom transcends our circumstances. It offers stability and security in an unstable and an insecure world. It speaks of completeness and wholeness. It speaks of God taking all the broken, fractured, fragmented bits and putting them back together again, whether it's in our lives or our relationships or in our world. It's what we sang about, isn't it, in the last verse of that lovely, lovely hymn. That's the rich biblical concept of God's peace. And that's what he's promising us here in this blessing. But lots of us have been coming to church for ages. We know the Bible well enough to know we've got a problem. The blessings of which this passage speaks can only come at a price. Moses, you may remember, longed to see God's glory. And what did God tell him? You can't see my face because no one can see me and live. To see God's face is to see him. That spells instant death for people like us. We're in Numbers chapter 6, but back in Numbers chapter 3, two of Aaron's sons saunter into God's promise and, gosh, that's the end of them. Yet the bigger story of the Bible tells us that we were created to live face to face with God. Here we are in Numbers chapter 6, but if we went all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, we'd read this. God breathed into his, that's Adam's, nostrils, the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Human life itself began with a face-to-face encounter with God. Not God at a distance, but God up close and personal, intimate, like a divine kiss. Living face to face with God. That's what we were created to enjoy. That's the very meaning of life from the very beginning, but we've turned in on ourselves and we've turned away from the God who made us. And we've forfeited his blessing, and now we're laboring, not enjoying blessing, but laboring under curse. So here, the blessings in Numbers chapter 6 can only come because God has intervened in the most amazing way. In Moses' day, it involves a whole elaborate system of offerings and sacrifices. It takes the rest of the Bible to explain how God can turn his face toward us. He can only turn his face toward us because of the ultimate sacrifice he paid. He can turn his face toward you because he turned his face away from somebody else. My God, why have you forsaken me? You of all people, cried the Lord Jesus from the cross. See, what a remarkable thing is that there was no number six blessing for Jesus on the cross, was there? He received his Father's frown so that you and I can enjoy the Father's smile. He experienced God's wrath so that you and I can enjoy God's peace. He bore the Father's curse that we might receive the Father's blessing. That's the gospel, isn't it? Jesus has made peace between us messed up human beings and the holy Creator who longs to know us. And he did it by dying in our place on the cross. Through Jesus' death and his resurrection, he's restored the broken relationship. And that's how number six can work for us. So come back to the blessing, will you? If you've got your Bible open, just look at it again. I love the movement here in number six from the Lord, from to us rising to a crescendo. The first blessing contains three Hebrew words. The second blessing contains five. The third Hebrew word contains seven. It kind of gets deeper and fuller and richer as it goes from security through significance to shalom. That's what human flourishing means, isn't it? Live in the good of this blessing and we can truly say it is well. It is well with my soul. I want you to notice that this is a blessing. It's not a prayer. Aaron and his sons aren't asking God to bless us. They're telling us that God has blessed us. Look how our passage ends, will you? So the priests will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. I stumbled across a ruler from my childhood recently. The thing I noted about it was it had my name on it. I put my name on everything. This pencil case, it's not yours, it's mine. It's got my name on it. Well, we've got God's name on us. In a far deeper and more wonderful way than my ruler and my pencil case, on the 31st of July, 1976, my beautiful bride graciously took my name to herself. In an instant, all that was mine was hers. And she's been bitterly disappointed ever since. And in the same way, God has put his name on us. He's united us with himself. We are his. And all that is his becomes ours. And he delights in us. And he wants to enrich us by sharing himself with us, the blessing that flows from God the Father, the best blessing, the grace that is wonderfully purchased by God the Son, the peace that is enjoyed through the work of God the Spirit. So here's the question. How much do we want God to bless us? How much do you want God to bless you this morning? How much do we want to be drawn in the arms of a Father who delights in us and wants to enrich our lives? I wonder if we're in danger of just overthinking this, just making it more complicated than it's meant to be. How about, don't bother looking at anybody else for a moment, but just taking a deep breath. Just breathe in. Breathe in the fresh air of the gospel this morning. God wants to bless you. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Want more of it. You say. When I was a pastor, I always used to look at the back row. Morning. And if they were kind of becoming edgy, I knew I needed to stop. or if they were looking bemused, I knew I wasn't getting through. And I can just wonder whether the back row might be thinking to themselves, I'm not sure about any of this. See, we haven't really got time for luxuries like this. There'll be plenty of time for that in the age to come. But Dave's reminded us in his prayer, we live in a deeply uneasy world. The time is short. The days are evil. The need is urgent. Precisely. And that's why we need to sit here this morning and soak up this blessing. Objectively, we have it all the time, of course. But I mean experiencing it subjectively in our hearts. And the reason we need to be blessed is because we live in a profoundly unblessed world. We need to revel in this security, the significance, the shalom. Realizing that we don't have to strive. We don't have to perform. We don't have to prove ourselves because we live in a world that's not like that. And we need the opportunity to share this blessing. We need to go into an unblessed world as blessed people to bring the blessing of God to others. Isn't that what Psalm 67 was about? May God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine on us, so that you always may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. God wants people who don't know his blessing to come to enjoy it through encountering those who are. Did that make sense? I hope it does. But listen, I need to be done. What happens if you're here this morning and not a Christian yet? I wonder if these words resonate with you. Remember what we said a few moments ago. We are all seeking blessing. It's hardwired into our being. We can't flourish without it. I wonder whether deep down you long to be blessed, to know security in a world that is profoundly unstable, significance in a world where we are just another statistic, shalom in a world that's hungry for peace and tired of war. Look around at the world around you. Look inside yourself. Where on earth are you going to find those things? Or maybe listen. Hear the voice of your Creator this morning. Hear him calling out to you. Hear him winning you, wooing you, charming you, calling you to come to him. Because the great desire of God's heart is to catch you up in his arms and speak these words of blessing to you. So, the blessing of number 6, what do we make of it? It's more than just ancient words. It's the timeless expression of God's heart. Do you get that? Do I get that? God wants you, he wants me, to leave this place blessed this morning. Not blessed by ticking a box to say that we've been to church. Not blessed by ticking a box and saying we're good enough. But blessed in being who God has made us to be. And then living that knowledge, living that life out in the knowledge that we're completely accepted, fully loved, despite all our flaws and our failings and our foibles. I don't know about you, I think that's brilliant. So, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. Please will you stand for a moment? Because I want to bless you. Slowly. One phrase at a time. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.